This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today's show is going to cover an area of nutrition. You know, from tofu, tacos, baby formula, hamburgers, soy products have swept the nation supposedly as a healthy source of protein. It's got a reputation of being natural and good for you. But there's new studies out there that raise the question over whether the ingredients in soy might actually increase the risk of breast cancer in some women, affect brain and testicular function in men and boys, and lead to hidden developmental abnormalities in some infants. And my guests today are both farmers and activists who have a great deal of knowledge about soy. My first guest is Steve Hixton, and he has a company called Steve's Seed Conditioning, which is another industry that's being besieged by the USDA right now, by the way. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good evening.
And then we also have Paul Griepentrog, and Paul is also a farmer of livestock and produce and is also an activist in this area. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Now, first I have to ask you, and I'll start with you, Paul. How did you end up becoming a quote-unquote activist? I know neither of you are really comfortable with that term, but I kind of pushed it on you.
Well, just like I said before, it's something we kind of evolved into because I saw that how industry and the government was moving, and a lot of this was based on decisions by people who weren't being presented the whole facts and the whole story. They were getting the spiel from the folks that wanted things to go their way, as is kind of common in government, and kind of started stepping in and learning how the system worked.
You know, it's an amazing, too, because the government is very deceptive in how they manage. They're so strategic, and they use diversionary tactics to keep people's eyes off of the real issues. Steve, what about you? How did you get involved? Was it the same thing, out of necessity? You saw your industry being pounced upon, and you felt the need to speak up?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those deals that if there's an issue that's directly affecting your industry, you look around and there's nobody to speak up but yourself. But also I've been seeing how these farmers have been intimidated and actually beat into submission that they just are afraid to speak up and have their name in print. And, you know, it's really pathetic to see a grown man cower down to a seed company.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the subject at hand. And that is soy. You know, I've wanted to do a show on soy for some time, and I thought the timing was right because of the recent buzz about an industrial solvent that is used in the preparation of soy products called hexane, which is a known carcinogen, correct?
Yeah, it's my understanding from what I've read.
Okay. And it's in, and apparently there are trace amounts of it in baby formula and everything that is produced with soy. And so that was kind of my, I thought, well, we've got to go ahead and do this soy show because there's really a lot things that are worse about soy, than just that. Obviously, that's the tip of the iceberg right now. That's the big buzz. Paul, I think it was you that first told me that soy is really not easily digestible by human beings, correct?
Right, or any other species. Soybeans in their natural form possess something called a trypsin inhibitor, and should only be consumed or fed to livestock. Most of my background is in livestock feeds and feeding, to like 10% of the ration because they're just not digestible unless they're processed in some form or another.
You know, it's important. I had another fellow on, Howard Vlieger, and we talked about how GMO feeds affect swine's stomachs and immune systems. One of the reasons that people need to pay attention to what happens to livestock is because it's easy for those who manage livestock to observe the causative effects of feeds, and they can manipulate them. So when they remove the feeds, they can see that these issues go away. We cannot easily do that in human populations, and we have to understand that, especially when it comes to pigs, they closely emulate human beings as far as our digestive system, our thyroids, our heart, organs, and so on and so forth. So, but those of you who are listening to this and think, oh, well, this is in animals, and I'll take this with a grain of salt, don't. Because if it's happening in livestock, and it's being seen by the individuals who care for these livestock, it's also happening in human beings as well. It's just that we're such a large, diverse group, and no one is observing us the way livestock caretakers observe their herds. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, that's kind of some of the how I discovered what was going on. I raised chickens and turkeys, and the turkeys had become in ill health, and they started dying, and I had contacted the folks at the university who, they're on an experimental farm, raised turkeys, and they says, well, come by the farm, and we'll talk to you about it. They didn't want to discuss it over the phone. And I says, well, and then I went there, and they says, well, here's what happens when these processed soybean products reach an ambient temperature of 95 degrees. The trypsin inhibitor reverts. See, it's not destroyed. It's just stopped by processing. At that point, it reverts. The substance became toxic. This is why these turkeys were in ill health. I've witnessed this, and a lot of dairy farmers did that used to top dress soybean meal. In the summertime, it'd get hot and cows would get mastitis. That's an udder infection.
Sure.
And these old farmers, they didn't understand the science, but they knew if they took the soybean away, the infection went away. So there was a cause and effect there, and we raised a few chickens for our own eating, and the last bunch I'd fed them roasted soybeans. Now, roasted soybeans still have the oil in it, and they just roast them at a specific temperature, and I noticed a few of them had died, and a few other ones were just small when we came to butcher them ourselves, and of course, the butchering process is kind of nothing short of doing an autopsy. So I opened up their intestines and looked, and they were blocked with soybean.
I'll be darned.
They had plugged their lower intestines, and of course, the food wasn't moving through, and this is what it inhibited their growth.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting that when I started to read about trypsin in general. Trypsin is produced by the pancreas, and it's a very important enzyme that is designed to cleave specific amino acids away from protein. And one of the amino acids produced by trypsin is arginine. And arginine is responsible for nitric oxide synthase. And nitric oxide is what relaxes our blood vessels. And it may very well be that individuals who have a high intake of soy, when it has this trypsin inhibitor in it, and it inhibits the pancreas from producing trypsin, you may end up with a potentially high blood pressure because your vasculature is not expanding the way it normally would because you're not producing the amount of arginine that your body would produce. That was just something I just gleaned when I started to read about what trypsin does, and I'm sure that there's more to it than that. But obviously, this is a concern. This is a concern. Now, when we go into the break, when we come back, I want to ask Steve some questions because there's an area of his expertise that shows that there is more going on, skullduggery going on here as it relates to soybeans. But, Paul, there was something else that was interesting about soybeans, and that is that just about every form of processing of soybeans requires some sort of industrial solvent, doesn't it?
Well, for the use of the industrial solvents, especially when they're looking to extract the oil, and then they'll use the oil, and then the remaining soybean material is fed to livestock as soybean oil meal. There are ways like where they whole roast the soybeans, much like you'd roast peanuts or coffee, and then the oil remains in them, or they use what they call an extruder process. But these are generally, it's either got to be done through exposure to heat or through some chemical process. And of course, anytime you deal with chemicals or solvents, there's always a residual matter problem in what remains.
And it's really disgusting. The first time I was exposed to this was I was on the Weston A. Price Foundation website reading about lecithin, because I used to go through probably about 8 to 10 ounces of lecithin a week. I used to eat it throughout the day until I read the article on the Weston A. Price Foundation website when they talked about how they liberate phospholipids from the soy, the different types of industrial solvents that they use, that the end result is so strong in solvent smell that they then wash it, color it, and deodorize it, and then flavor it to finally get the solvent smell out of it, but there's still trace amounts of the solvent in it. And I stopped using soy after I read that. Soy lecithin after I read that. So it's really an issue here that people have to pay attention to. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about soy. You're going to want to watch out for soy, I'm telling you. It's a lot worse for you than we originally thought. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Do you have your Superhuman Radio t-shirt yet? What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com, and get your Live Stronger t-shirt today. My guests today, Steve Hixton and Paul Griepentrog, and we're talking about soy. Now, Steve, before we go on further, excuse me, about how bad soy is for you, let's explain to people why there is such a push and influence for more people to eat soy. And it comes back to that famous company, Monsanto.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Well, it's first we have to look at the history of soybeans itself and why it's important. Ever since 1930 and even today, with our tax dollars, we're being forced to help develop and maintain this genetic infrastructure. And it may even date back farther than that. But we got these germplasms from China, and I believe they got them from Japan, which really doesn't matter. But through the course of time, our universities took these parent lines and come up with a series of varieties that, and I remember planting a lot of these years ago as a youngster, that they had common names like Williams and Macon's and Mavericks and Logan's and Unions and so forth. And in 1970, Congress wanted to create economic stimulus and cut federal spending. They wanted private industry to take these parent lines and do some of the work that the universities had been doing. So these parent lines were loaned to private industry.
Loaned. The key word there is loaned.
Loaned.
Right? Okay.
They were never given to them.
Right.
And it was implied they were going to take these parent lines and breed them together. And it was also implied they were going to sell the offspring of those as seed for a profit. And they were allowed to protect and market that very specific genetic sequence under their label. And the reward system designed and passed by Congress and signed by the president was called the Plant Variety Protection Act. And it gave patent-like protection to seed companies to protect that very specific genetic sequence.
Now, first of all, which president are we talking about?
I believe that was Nixon at the time.
Okay. And now, obviously, since these companies are investing their hard-earned time and dollars to produce these new seed lines, they had to have some vested interest in something out of it.
Yeah. They were allowed to market these very specific genetic sequences
right.
under their label. Nobody else could develop and market that same variety. But to protect the heritage which our public funding has afforded us for our future, Congress put an exemption of infringement in that law that was very clear. It was farmers' right to save seed. And what this done, this provided a much-needed series of checks and balances in the seed system. If it really pushed the seed companies to come up with newer and better varieties and be aggressive with their breeding techniques. And, you know, if a variety performed, farmers would buy it. And if it didn't, they wouldn't. It was as simple as that. But the important thing is the amount of savings that was allowed by the farmer. Every year, farmers buy new seed. They always have and they always will. But depending on their particular financial circumstances or the type of ground they farmed, they would save X amount of seed from the crop. And that's where individuals and companies like myself come into play as seed cleaners. They would call on us to process this material and separate the weed seed and sticks and junk out for the planter mechanisms. Whenever we got done, it was pure seed. And it also sized the load up where they was uniform in size and so forth. But the savings that these farmers incurred by saving this seed, they went to town and spent this money. This was a complete financial engine.
Right.
They would buy lumber, iron, durable goods. Those are all jobs. And this is what created these United States. They bought cars, built machine sheds, washing machines, just whatever money would buy. But you see, the important thing is those dollars were dumped into the local economy.
Right.
For every individual to have an opportunity to access. But it also created a sales tax base that was really unmatched by any other industry. Agriculture is our number one financial engine in these United States. And the there's a couple of different ways of looking at how important this financial machine is to the local economy. When I was in high school, we'd done just a small project trying to see how often money rolled over in a certain period of time, and we concluded there's what is called a rule of sevens. Let's say a man gets a paycheck, and he finally goes around to spend it on the weekend or whatever, pays bills. But 70% of that money in the first 17 days changes hands seven times. So, you know, you take sales tax on top of that every time. That
right.
Allowed for healthy county budgets, township budgets.
Okay, so but what happened that what did Monsanto do that now has infringed on these farmers of using their own seeds?
All right. Now these varieties whenever they were produced, there was a free flow of germplasms back and forth through the entire industry. Since these companies knew they didn't own this, they just had a right to market them. They constantly traded the results of their breeding program amongst the industry, and they also had to give it up to the universities where they could test the viability of it. Well, all right, Monsanto comes into the arena with this patented chemical event, and they attach their patented gene to the DNA strand of these soybeans. And since patent law denies others from making, selling, or using, all of a sudden there's no more free flow of germplasm in the infrastructure. And they deny farmers the right to save seeds, which Congress gave them. And as a result, they're claiming supreme ownership over this entire infrastructure.
So, in other words, a farmer still has those seeds, but he can't keep them, in other words?
Mm-mm. No.
I'll be darned.
They issue these technology agreements, and they're a very complicated agreement, which I've never met a seed dealer that even understood what they said, and I know a lot of seed dealers.
Right.
But it's been referred to that the full text of this agreement is like 30 pages long, and I don't think there's any farmer around that's ever had access to even the full text of it.
Right.
And it's also been exposed that by signing one of these that producers are giving up as many as four of their constitutional rights.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically Monsanto steals the seed business from the soy product. So
mm-hmm.
now they have complete control. So every year the farmer has to go out now and purchase his seeds
mm-hmm.
brand new from scratch from a Monsanto
right.
supplier.
And Monsanto is pulling more money per acre from the farmer's land than what the farmer gets to keep.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And not to mention that Monsanto is the one that's benefiting from soy, and the reality is that people are getting sick from eating soy and they just don't realize it.
So, I don't think they care.
Well, Monsanto doesn't care. I know.
No.
Monsanto doesn't care. We already established that in previous shows that we've done, that Monsanto doesn't care. They're just in it for the money. I mean, they were the ones who created, what was that, bovine growth hormone.
Growth hormone, yeah.
You know, they didn't care that it was hurting people. And then finally, when people voted with their dollars and stopped buying milk, then that's when they finally spun that company off and said, well, it's a losing proposition. Otherwise, they would have kept selling that stuff.
Yeah, and then as a result, they reward the political system for ignoring it.
Oh, yeah, they support lots of big politicians. They've got lots of – I was just reading that this guy – what is this guy? Somebody new being moved into a position. The Obama administration just
It's not Michael Taylor.
Taylor, yeah, he's an ex lobbyist for Monsanto. His law firm was involved.
I think he used to be vice president.
I mean, it's really disgusting. And you know, I got to be honest with you, I voted for Obama, and I feel like I got hoodwinked now.
Yep.
I feel like, man, I voted for this guy because I thought it was going to be changing. It's business as usual.
Yeah, he was on his own transition team. Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's my guess that he got to handpick this Vilsack, which, you know, he's had use of Monsanto's corporate jet for a long time.
Right.
And I think, I believe he's even done litigation work for him.
That's what I read. I read that he did do litigation work for them. But you know what? It's scary because Monsanto is going to control, the food and that makes us sick and the drugs that keep us alive.
But you see, by them, hijacking this infrastructure is, like, I tell you what, every one of these seed companies started out as a seed cleaner, just like me.
Right.
You do it to build your equity, your customer base, and to learn the industry. And for them to deny somebody like me access to even a portion of this infrastructure is not only anti-competitive, it's sending a message to the world that we need no more new seed companies, that we need no more diversification in our food chain.
I remember reading someplace recently that Monsanto now owns the majority of seed producers and seed companies. You know, by one way or another, they own them, whether they own them outright. There's one other thing I wanted to mention before we go into the break. Didn't you say that the USDA also has an ownership in this in these germplasms?
Well, I think they're getting a royalty from Monsanto's efforts.
Is that right? I heard you spoke up there, Paul. Did you?
Yeah, it's my understanding from a friend of mine who did the research. They're 5% co-owners on some of these patents are benefiting from the royalties.
How could the government own and make money on that? I mean, it's like a conflict of interest.
Well, you know, the people own this. The people paid for it.
Right.
And it's. You know, this is an infrastructure, a lot like our highway system. It's really the agricultural equivalent of our highway system. It's just been hijacked where the public no longer has access to it anymore. But even today, the public's being forced to help maintain it and develop it for Monsanto's benefit and others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our dollars at work, and then our dollars become privatized.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it's exactly what, look at Fannie Mae, you know, look at the mortgage debacle.
Mm-hmm.
It was privatized profits, but socialized losses. When they got in trouble, we had to bail them out. It's the same thing. So we paid the dollars to produce these, seed lines. And now Monsanto owns them and is profiting from it.
We've done some math just very recently. While my machine is running, and it's an average-sized piece of equipment, in today's money, it's worth nearly $14,000 an hour to the local economy.
Wow.
An hour. And there used to be thousands of us running around, and now there's just a handful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And they are working frantically to put the rest of us out of business.
All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off, and I want to start to talk more and explore more about why soy is not a good choice for your diet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers.
All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games, we just help you win them. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of this. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Why soy is not good for you. Now, first of all, Paul, you mentioned earlier about the antitrypsin effect and its ability to inhibit the digestion of certain portions of the soy. What other issues do we have with soy?
Well, you know, fundamentally, the requirement for processing, it takes energy. It expends energy. There's other alternative protein crops out there that don't require that type of processing to be consumable by livestock or by humans, for that fact. There's been information out there that soy products cause lower intestinal problems in people because of their difficulty to digest.
Do you see this in livestock also, by the way?
Yeah, I've kind of seen that through my course of having raised livestock off and on. I grew up on a farm and that kind of thing. Before the soybean kind of appeared on the scene, a lot of areas in this country grew flax for a protein supplement without the caustic side effects. Actually has several inherent food benefits. One of the other, not to get too far off the issues, but one of the other problems with soy, we've become so narrowly focused on what we feed livestock and, I guess, fundamentally ourselves in the end. It's just corn and soybeans. Maybe they give them some hay on these feedlots, these cattle, and this is all they're kind of getting. little additive, little mineral, that type of thing. You don't get that diversity that they would get if they were out foraging, or say two generations back, where, you know, Steve owns what I would consider a commercial seed cleaning operation, and that's what it is. But you go back a couple generations, and every farmer had a little fanning mill seed cleaning machine, and some of the original ones were turned by hand. There's still a few left in a few antique stores. I own one of those small electric-operated ones, but in those days, every region kind of saved their own seed, and there was a wide biodiversity. And the risk you run, and it was brought out, I think that was in 1979, most of the corn hybrids on the market were of the Texas cytoplasm, and they developed the disease in that, and only those farmers that still planted the old open-pollinated corn got a crop, because everything else was related to the ones that were susceptible to the disease. We're losing our genetic diversity.
Right. I could see that. Let me ask you a question, Paul. Is all soy currently GMO soy?
No. I know that under organic standards, they don't at this point allow genetically modified seed.
Is it fair to say that a lot of soy out there is GMO?
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of corn is. Is a lot of soy GMO now?
I would guess so. Steve probably runs into more commercial soybean.
What do you think, Steve?
It's been reported that way in excess of 90% of them. But the big hazard in the non-genetically modified is they are affected by what's called an adventitious presence. In other words, it's part of a natural order. Monsanto and others knows that their genetically modified plants have the ability to contaminate the ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that cross-pollination. You can have a guy who has a crop, you know, up the road from you, and the pollen from his plants are blowing into your fields,
mm-hmm.
And bingo.
That's what's referred to as an adventitious presence, part of a natural order.
Yeah, it's so really we're gonna contaminate everything that isn't already GMO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me read something from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Okay, it says, confused about soy. Here's a summary of the dangers. First of all, high levels of phytic acid in soy reduce the assimilation of calcium, magnesium, copper, iron, and zinc. Phytic acid is in soy, and it's not neutralized by ordinary preparation methods such as soaking, sprouting, or long, slow cooking. High phytic diets have been known to cause growth problems in children. And this is the one that you talked about, Paul. Trypsin inhibitor in soy interferes with protein digestion, may cause pancreatic disorders. In test animals, soy containing trypsin inhibitors causes stunted growth. Soy phytoestrogens, we know about this one, disrupts the endocrine function and have the potential to cause infertility and promote breast cancer in adult women. Soy phytoestrogens are potential antithyroid agents that cause hypothyroidism and may cause thyroid cancer. In infants, consumption of soy formulas has been linked to autoimmune thyroid disease. And let's take it a step further. They don't say this here, but men don't need estrogen, because the higher your estrogen levels, it shuts your testosterone down. And phytoestrogens act like estrogens. They dock in the androgen receptor, and the body thinks it's estrogen. So if you're consuming a lot of soy, you're one of these zealot, you know, vegetarians, and you're turning to soy for all of your protein, well, guess what? If you're a man, chances are you're going to be hypogonadal, because if you're eating a lot of soy, you have a lot of estrogen. If you have a lot of estrogen, your pituitary and your hypothalamus, through a negative feedback, go, oh, we don't need any testosterone. So it's not good for young boys that are going through puberty. It's not good for infants, obviously, and it's not good for older men either.
Well, I guess it might be good for the Viagra market.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe there's a lot of, well, you know, that's probably true. It contributes to ED. That's a good point. That's a very good point, Paul.
Well, and so much of what I've watched in the past generation of farming, it's rather ironic, because I grow, you know, field crops and produce and stuff, and Bayer has some Well, we associate Bayer with the aspirin, but Bayer is in the seed industry right alongside Monsanto. And it's so ironic to me that Bayer and Merck and Pfizer are here on the end of putting the stuff into the food chain and then selling us the drugs we need to cure the problems of what went in the first place.
We actually did a show with Howard Vlieger called The Circle of Death, and we showed how Bayer, Syngenta, Monsanto, Pharmacia, all these big companies make the pesticides and the GMO products that cause the problems, and then we call the doctors and they give us pharmaceutical drugs that are also made by these same companies. So they make us sick, and then they keep us alive by taking these drugs. And it's a disgusting situation. It's a parasitic situation, and people need to get wise.
Well, our government is so in love with the notion that economic stimulus is corporate profits at any cost. That's what it's all about, making money.
Yeah.
And we're going to see some big changes. I know you're kind of familiar with some of these food safety bills, but there's recently been a compilation of the various aspects of these bills coming out of the office or the Committee on Energy and Commerce. That's Waxman's committee, and he's got a draft out there, and it's only been out a few days, and I've been picking away at it, and believe me, that draft is worse than any of the bills combined.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to be looking at where everybody that is involved in the food industry is going to pay $1,000 registration fee. They're going to harmonize with international standards. If you don't allow inspection, they just got to go to the and this is a quote, they go to the clerk of court and they can get an arrest warrant for you. And that's in direct violation of federal criminal procedure.
Yeah.
This thing's getting out of control. They're going to come in, tell us how we can farm, tell us what we can eat, what we can't eat. And I just don't know that a government that can't balance a budget should be telling me how to feed myself.
Well, you know what? It's about controlling the food, because he who controls the food controls the population. And then,
right.
You know what?
They'll never
have to fire another gun or launch another missile if they can just choke a country off and starve it. And that's what this is all about. Centralizing food and controlling food is not about just about profits. It's about power. It's about controlling populations. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'll read some more of the list of dangers from soy. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change
Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine: creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Soy is the devil. I don't know if I'll go that far. All right, so look, let me cover some more of these issues here before we close the show. Some of the issues about soy. Vitamin B12 analogs in soy are not absorbed and actually increase the body's requirement for B12. And that's an important one because B12 is neuroprotective and also helps you burn fat. And again, also B12 is used in the assimilation of proteins. Soy foods increase the body's requirement for vitamin D, and we already know that vitamin D deficiencies have been linked to cancer and immune deficiency diseases. The fragile proteins in soy are denatured during high-temperature processing to make the soy protein isolate and textured vegetable protein, which means that the value of the soy in the soy protein is not there because it's damaged, it's denatured. The processing of soy proteins result in the formation of toxic lysoaniline, and which is highly carcinogenic, and also nitrosaminines. I'm not pronouncing that right, but bottom line is, soy protein processing results in carcinogenics. That obviously you're eating these in carcinogens. I'm sorry. Glutamic acid, which is actually MSG, by the way. I wish they would have just said MSG. A potent neurotoxin is formed during soy food processing, and additional amounts are usually added to the food too. We know that MSG is a highly stimulatory of the nervous system. Glutamate is one of the excitatory amino acids, and too much of it actually kills nerves. Lastly, soy foods contain high levels of aluminum, and aluminum is toxic to the nervous system and kidneys. So these are all reasons, aside from the fact that processing soy usually requires industrial solvents. This is just the soy by itself in its natural form. It's not good. So you need to start looking on labels when you're buying protein products and such to make sure that there's no soy in it. Don't eat soy. Milk protein is good. Rice protein is good. And then obviously your animal proteins are always good. But for those of you out there who are vegans or vegetarians and you don't want to, you know, eat animal protein, then become a lacto-vegan. Use milk.
Well, there is another alternative for them. And unfortunately, it was kind of stifled in its infancy. Years ago, I worked with it. It was called Sweet White Lupins. It was high in protein, didn't require processing. Kind of looked like a big lima bean with a gold inside. Unfortunately, The parent seed was being brought in from a foreign country. They grow a lot of it in Australia, New Zealand, and in Europe. And somehow the USDA very conveniently decided it had a virus that didn't exist in this country and halted all further importation of these sweet white lupins. And they were an excellent source of both feed protein, and I know there was a time, I think a couple of the organic mills were making noodles with them, and it didn't have all these, you know, potential side effects. And we always kind of held to the opinion that it had more to do with the money being sent.
I was just going to say,
the soy people.
I was just
going to
say
lobby.
That, right? And that's what I was just going to say. Obviously, there was an interest in derailing lupin. Lupin is a Mediterranean of origin, and I'm familiar with it. But there was obviously a desire to derail it in the interest of a crop that they had already, you know, put their blessing on. And they were behind. So there you go. And I'm sure that Monsanto had something to do with that, too.
Well, I tell you how serious Monsanto is in taking this over. A year ago March, my shop had been broken into. And at the time, I wasn't smart enough to figure out what was going on. Somebody entered it, but no tools or welders or anything were missing. And some of my contacts in the seed industry said, hey, Monsanto's following you around this year. Well, a lot of these farms are very remote, and I'm not stupid. I know if somebody's following me down these old roads, you know. But after I would be at these locations for the biggest part of an hour, they'd have a ground support vehicle that would constantly be finding me. And they had cameras in the vehicle, and they'd photograph these locations. Well, I know they own their own satellites, so I'm convinced they were tracking me electronically. But last fall, they pulled in with investigators in the area right in the middle of corn harvest, and they went to every farm that I had been to between April 7th and May 30th, every farm, and they knew how many wagons was out, what color they was, what time of day I was there, and started interrogating these farmers about their association with my business. And as a result, started extorting massive amounts of money out of them.
Really?
I'm not talking tens of thousands. I'm talking, in some cases, more than $100,000.
Now, how did they extort? What were the premise for the extortion?
Out of they claimed that they were violating the terms of this technology agreement where they give up their constitutional rights. Yeah.
To reuse the seeds.
Uh-huh. But a lot of the time it was based on unsubstantiated evidence, but these guys...
I was just going to say, in other words, because you were there, they assumed you were cleaning those seeds and they were reusing them.
They were guilty until proven innocent. And Monsanto has thousands of foot soldiers. And, of course, they have a lot of low-level deniability on this here. But I'm not the only seed cleaner this has happened to. They sued one, Maurice Parr in Lafayette, Indiana, Michael White in Scottsboro, Alabama. They sued a cooperative in Pilot Grove, Missouri. And they haven't sued me yet, but I see the freight train coming. But a few years ago, I got to researching these seed laws and tried to figure out what give these guys the right to do what they're doing. And I presented this information to the Illinois Farm Bureau, which is the only farm bureau in the nation that has studied this issue without discrimination for what it is. And they spent 2 years looking at this intensively. And what it amounted to was back in 1970, with Congress and all their wisdom, when we loaned this to private industry, they forgot to put one word in, the word exclusive. In other words, the PVPA, or the Plant Variety Protection Act, to be the exclusive statute governing all germplasm propagation. Because of the lack of that one word, they're able to use patent law and hijack the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Just, you know, in 1970, they couldn't foresee gene splicing or biotechnology.
Yeah, right. Who knew, right?
Yeah. I mean, that law was... The architects of it was Bob Dole and Birch Bayh. Mm-hmm.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole and Birch Bayh.
All right. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show. The one thing I want to convey to people is to open your eyes about soy. You know, if you're going to eat soy, eat very, very small amounts of it. Try to find alternative protein sources. Look, on candy, you know, on protein bars and stuff. See if they're using soy protein isolate. You know, keep an eye out for it and avoid it. Avoid it as often as possible. Find alternatives. All right. Well, listen, that's the end of the show. Paul Griepentraub, I want to thank you for coming on Superhuman Radio today, and Steve Hixton for making time to talk about this important subject.
Glad to be here.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. And we will see everybody else tomorrow with another show. We'll see you then.